8:35. You are listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. Fidget spinners. I don't think there's a home these days that doesn't have this. If you've got young children or grandchildren, they take it to school, they take it to madrasa, they take it even to the mosque. I was in Canada during the month of Ramadan, and I saw the kids bringing these fidget spinners to the mosque as well at the time of breaking fast. But what should our view of it be? Is it one of those gadgets that children have just become obsessed with? Is it another money-making gimmick which those people who know how to prey on children have produced? Does it have some benefits? How should teachers and educators, how should parents approach the situation when it comes to fidget spinners? Now, joining us this morning on the line, we have Gershom Atchison, the headmaster at the Education Incorporated Boutique School. Gershom, thank you so much for your time. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Now, as the principal of the school, how did you react the first time you saw what has now become a worldwide craze, this fidget spinner?
It was quite difficult because there's always something happening in the class. If it's not yo-yos or marbles or something like that, kids always seem to find something to take in the class and, you know, that can distract them. And for us, the question has always been about the effectiveness of education and is education taking place in the classroom. So I suppose for us, the overriding maxim, as it were, is was it distracting from effective teaching? You know, when it came up in the staff room, some of the teachers weren't even aware that the kids were playing with the fidget spinners. And I suppose that means that they were being effective, they were doing it under the desk or whatever the case would be, and yet other teachers found it very, very distracting because the kids were asking to have turns. Some of the fidget spinners had lights and things like that. It was distracting and keeping the kids away from being taught. And I suppose that's our approach, looking at the effectiveness of education in the classroom and are they distracting us from teaching.
Now, you did something interesting. You actually granted permission for fidget spinners to be allowed in the class. Why and what was the effect?
Basically, what I said to the teachers was, essentially, it's up to the teacher. If you find that there are kids using fidget spinners and they're not distracting from teaching, I don't see any harm in it being in the classroom. You know, is it going to be a pencil that gets landing on the floor or a kid flicking an eraser or playing with a ruler or playing with a fidget spinner? And it was funny because as soon as we said to the kids, you know, you can take your fidget spinner into class and if it distracts you, the teacher will take it away or tell you to put it away. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, within a week, we haven't seen a fidget spinner in the class. It just disappeared.
Suppose it took away the novelty of having it, right?
It took away the novelty, and I suppose the focus then was back on teaching again and not on the fidget spinners. You know, it's a little bit, when the fidget spinners were banned, the teachers were looking for every child, have they got one, whereas opposed to if it's actually happening in the class and they're allowed to have it, is it distracting? Oh, it's playing, no one's noticing it, and, you know, class carried on as normal.
What about the talk that it could have benefits for students with autism or ADHD? Is there any research to back this up?
I think if you Googled the research on it, you will find many, many different views on it. In writing the article, we looked at a lot of the views in the current research that people are claiming, and you can get opposing points of view on all of it. Personally, I don't think they've been around long enough to have any merit. You know, the overriding message is that it's not the micro muscle activities of your fingers that help, it's the macro big muscle movements. In other words, kids getting out of their seats and things that has more benefit in the classroom. So I think if teachers want the kids to be more effective in the classroom, it shouldn't be about fidget spinners. It should be about getting the kids out of the seats and up to the board and engaging in a more macro, large muscle kind of way. And that's what the research is pointing to at the moment. So I'm not a scientist. I'm a teacher. And I don't know if, you know, maybe in 5 years' time when we've got all the data in, we might see that they are beneficial. But currently, I think there's enough controversy that who knows?
In 5 years' time, we may have another craze. Finally, Gershom, what's your advice to parents and to teachers who are listening to IT school holidays? Many parents find this irritating. I have 4 boys, and they have each a gadget spinner. How can you approach this positively and make sure it works in a constructive way?
I think, you know, if you take the principle outside the classroom as well, you know, you're sitting at the dining room table and they're playing in the fidget spinner. Dining room table, family time. So put the fidget spinner away. You mentioned taking to the mosque. Is the mosque a place to be playing the fidget spinner? No. It's a place for worship, so that's the focus. And if it's distracting from family time or distracting from worship, then it's a problem. In the same way, if it's distracting from education or teaching in the classroom, there's a, I think there's a place for it. But when the kids need to be focusing their attention on what's important and the fidget spinners are distracting from that, then they need to be, you know, put down. And if they're not, then there shouldn't be a problem. And I think everybody's personal value should be, or as a family, should be taken into account in making that decision.
Indeed. Gershon, thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
That was Gershon Atchison, a headmaster at the Education Incorporated Boutique School. And he was sharing with us his perspective on how he dealt with this issue of fidget spinners in the classroom. It's interesting, you know. As soon as you tell them, okay, you're allowed, then what happens is that the novelty wears off and it doesn't become that much of a challenge. Children sometimes want to be rebellious. They want to challenge whatever is being prohibited. What are your thoughts on fidget spinners? How have you regulated it? I don't think you can ban it all that effectively. But he's right, you know, it's not to be brought into the masjid. It's not to be brought in at the time when you're sharing a family meal or in the classroom to the point where it's destructive. But in between periods or break time, or if they're carrying it with them, I think sometimes we just get a little too hot under the collar. I can remember teaching days, some teachers, and Gershon hit on a very important point there. They became more obsessed with confiscating what was prohibited than actually teaching. You had some teachers like that. Where's your marbles? Well, I know you got it. Open that bag. And then, you know, those marbles, the one that you were like really after for a very long time, that's the one that get confiscated. Your whole mood is spoiled for the day. You're not focusing on the lessons, and that teacher's feeling very smart about himself or herself, that gotcha. But it's distracting from the core purpose of both the student and the teacher. Talking about schools, our SMQ4 this morning, we have been asking that the Department of Education has revealed a plan to drop maths as a compulsory subject from grade 7 to 9. What is your reaction to this latest revelation? I see that Sister Zainab says, I never liked maths. Till now, I'm not sure where that helps. I think we should have teachers that teach what is needed. All the complicated maths has not been beneficial. One of our listeners says, I was good in maths. In India, students are good in maths generally because they don't allow the use of the calculator, so you don't have a choice. Another listener says, our children can certainly benefit from basic mathematics, but there's no benefit in Afrikaans. Have to know basic maths throughout life, be it in the kitchen or as an artisan or even as a higher professional. Sister Sumaya Suji says, students will have to choose maths literacy or maths from grade 10. How will they be prepared for this? I think it's not to say that you drop it altogether. It's to say that, look, it's not a compulsory subject. So, therefore, if you're not intending to take maths beyond grade 10, then why bother with it between grade 7 and 9, by which point you've already learned the basics, according to the department. Afrocentric Muslim says, wow, this government sure looks for shortcuts. Don't fix a problem. Pretend it doesn't exist. That seems to be the prevailing attitude.